Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 49 in the series, entitled The Long Road and the Short Road to Inspiration, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 19th of Cheshvan, 5759.
Morning, Perik Yutches. That's page 46 of Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Well, the Teis was Biyur Beir Heitiv. Milas Ma'aid Sheba Pasuk Ikarav Elecha Davar Mi'aid V'Gaymer. To explain more clearly and more precisely, the word Ma'aid, the word very, in the Pasuk, that this matter is very near to you, where Moshe Rabbeinu declares to the Jewish people in Parshas Nitzavim that Hadavar, this matter, this issue of Torah and Mitzvahs of Yiddishkeit, is not remote, it's not in the heavens, it's not across the sea, rather. It's Karev Elecha Hadavar, it's close to you, and it's not just close, it's Karev Elecha Hadavar Miyoid, it's exceedingly close to you, Beficho V'Vavcha La'aseisai, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. So to explain more clearly, The idea behind the word ma'aid, tzarich leidane amana, one should recognize with certainty, ki af mi shedaitik tzare b'yediyas Hashem, that even the person who has only a limited understanding of Hashem's greatness and truth, ve'ein le'lev lahavin b'gdulas ein seif baruch hu, and he has no heart to comprehend the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof, of the blessed Infinite One, Lahay lid mimena dechilu rechimo, to produce through this meditation an awe and a love towards Hashem, afilu b'meichayut funasi levad, even in his mind and understanding alone. He is incapable of producing a real feeling of love and awe, how much more so he is unable to produce a vibrant, fervent love and awe. Afal pike, nevertheless, karayve love hadavar miyait, it is a very near thing for him, lishmair, to guard himself, the last I sent to perform kol mitzvahs ha-Torah, all of the commandments of the Torah, the Talmud Torah keneged kula, and in particular the study of Torah, which counterbalances kulon all of the other mitzvahs of Torah, and it is exceedingly close to him to guard himself and to perform all of the mitzvahs, befiv, with his mouth, mamish, and in his heart, in the true sense of the word, in the true sense of heart, me'um kedeliba, from the depth of his heart, be'emes la'amitai, in absolute sincerity and truth, b'dechilu rechimu, with awe and with love, with fear and with yira and with av. How is this possible? Shehi, this is Ahava Misuteris, the hidden love. Shebelev Klolus Yisrael, which is present, which exists in the hearts of all Jews. Shehi Yerushalanu Maaviseinu, which is an inheritance to us from our forefathers, from Aviseinu, from our patriarchs. One of the foundational axioms of the Tanya is the insistence of the author of the Alter Rebbe that the Yiddishkeit experience should be filled with energy, should be imbued with vitality. The Alter Rebbe insisted that Torah mitzvahs must accommodate the human soul, the human consciousness. It can never be static, dead, silent. The Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, could not stand matter without energy, body without soul, Yiddishkeit that doesn't have a melody. The Alter Rebbe insists that Karoi Veilecha Hadavar Miyoit Beficho Vilvavcha LaHaseisei, that the experience of Yiddishkeit, not only in a robotic, mechanical fashion, but a belevavcha, imbued with vitality, with soul, with passion, is within reach of every single Jew. And this is a result of the fact that the Jew is not just a biological, animalistic creature, but inherently possesses also a divine, transcendental, heavenly consciousness. Till here, Reb Shneur Zalman developed one approach, the Chabad Chachma Bina Das approach, a whole person approach in which the mind plays the leading and pivotal role, as discussed in brief last week. First, a person must study, comprehend, and meditate upon the quintessential truths of existence, the all-transcendent, all-embracing, all-pervading reality of Hashem, the root and essence of the soul, man's mission in life, and the resources and challenges that are extended to him, internally and externally, and so on and so forth. The next step is to translate the knowledge and identification into emotional drives. In creating human nature, the Alter Rebbe taught, Hashem established an innate superiority of mind over heart, where reason possesses the power to provoke, to solicit one's feelings. So the proper understanding and assimilation of these godly concepts will compel the development of the appropriate emotions in the heart, the love towards Hashem, the awe of Hashem, the celebration of godliness, and so forth. The Alter Rebbe claims and explains that this state is attainable by every single Jew. Every Jew has the capacity to begin celebrating his spirituality, to embrace godliness with fervor, with energy, with passion, to create a personal and emotional relationship with his soul, with his Father in heaven. Because as a result of the divine soul, the holy soul operating within our consciousness, we respond to godliness. The contemplation and meditation of transcendence, of the transcendental realities, will affect him. And as a result of that, he can experience a belevavcha, vitality and feeling for Torah and mitzvahs for Hashem. However, this, all of the above, requires, as mentioned last week, a lot of toil. On many levels, generally speaking, three major issues are the prerequisites for this type of achievement, for this type of life. A, an intellectual disposition. A person has to be capable of serious contemplation and meditation. It's not easy. I do not know how many of you attempted this, but try thinking about one subject for 5 minutes straight. Why am I exaggerating? For 1 minute straight. For 60 seconds, but only one subject. 5 minutes. Forget about it. It's very, very difficult. To think is difficult. We love talking. Try it. Take any subject. The two souls. Creation of the universe. Your priorities in life. Changes that you have to make. Hashem's reality. Whatever it may be. Dedicating your mind towards that subject. Basking in it. Bathing in it. Submerging yourself in the waters of spirituality through one's mind. Chassidim used to say, you know, the Arizal writes that Leah and Rachel represent two forces. Leah, the force of thought, and Rachel, the force of speech. Rachel was beloved. Leah wasn't so beloved. People love talking. Thinking is not a popular, it's not a popular item. Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah vayiftach es rachma. Hashem saw that Leah is despised. He opened her womb. Hashem imbued a special energy in thought. There is an inherent quality to thought that when the Jew will dedicate himself to meditation, to contemplation, the womb will be opened, it will produce children, it will produce offspring, it will produce emotions. I'm telling you, in Chassidus it says that it's easier to learn about godliness for 10 hours, for 20 hours, than to think 5 minutes about it. But in order to think 5 minutes about it, you have to learn for 20 hours. The Alter Rebbe developed this approach. I mentioned for this he had to develop and create an enormous literature, body of literature on Jewish spirituality. And indeed he created a generation, generations of pupils, disciples of Hasidim that could bathe their minds, their souls, in Ruchnius, in the Shama. The appropriate time for this by him was davening. Before davening, at davening. Davening was that experience, as a chassid once said, when does a Jew visit Hashem? Wenn zet man sich mit dem Eberstein? By davening. That's a special time dedicated for a private audience. I had a great, great grandfather. He was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. His name was Reb Gershon Ber Paharer. Actually, my father, who has graced us with his presence today here, is named after him. So he had a tragic life. His father died before he was born, and his mother died when he was a young child, so he was raised by his uncle, who was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe. And he was known as a Jew who was extraordinary, and among other qualities, the ability to meditate for hours upon hours in godliness, and totally being transported to another world, to another domain. Throughout his life, he had a broken heart. And one of the primary reasons for that was because he once missed Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. What happened? It was evening, and he was near a forest. He went into the forest, and he began meditating on Chassidus. For 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And he was totally, totally transported to another reality. By the time he came back and he awoke, he realized that the sun is rising. And he really didn't have a Ma'ariv yet. So for the rest of his life, he was tabrachim from it. Now, of course, there are many levels in this issue. But the idea is that every person has a mind and every person can think and can learn. But it's difficult. So if one, you need the powerful intellectual disposition. B, a knowledge of the subject at hand. Sometimes you can have an ability to meditate, but you don't have with what. You don't have with what to deal with. So knowledge of the subject at hand is crucial. And finally, C, the person has to have a heart which will respond to this learning and comprehension. So since this is the case, it is difficult to say Karav Ma'aid, that it's very accessible. It is accessible. The Jew has the capacity to internalize his spirituality, to integrate godliness into his subjective identity, not just relegate it to the philosophical abstract dimensions of a soul. He has the capacity to do that. He has the capacity to recreate himself as a spiritual creature rather than remain an animalistic creature, defined by egotistical and self-centered here and now type of perception. He has the ability to recreate himself, but to recreate yourself is very, very difficult. So it's difficult to say Karav Ma'aid. Therefore, here the Alter Rebbe explains a whole new concept, which is, as he will demonstrate, it is only based on the understanding of this new concept, which he introduces in Perikit Ches, where one can honestly say that Karav Eilecha Adavar Miyoid Beficha Vavav Chalasais, that the performance of Torah and Mitzvahs is not only relevant, it's not just a part of our identity. It is not just that man is capable of performing it meticulously, but furthermore with a real fervor and passion that accommodates him in a very powerful and personal and intimate way. So the Alter Rebbe says, what is this? L'tayis v'zbiur the ma'aid? The Avim is Suteres Shebelev Kolos Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim Ma'avaseinu. In the soul of every Jew, there exists a constant love towards Hashem. This love, this passion does not have to be created through contemplation. Rather, it exists independently from the knowledge, from the understanding, from the meditative ability of the Jew. However, this love is Misuteres. It can lay dormant, silent, concealed in the cellars of his heart, of his soul. This Ahava Misoteris can be defined as a subconscious force, not a conscious force. Rather, to put it more accurately, it's a superconscious force. This is the spark of Jewishness, which constitutes the essence of the Jew. It is that supra-rational dimension of the Jew which compels him to die for his Jewishness. It is that absolutely insane commitment of the Jew who, in the midst of horrendous torture and unspeakable pain, will not betray his Father in heaven. It is that aspect of the Jew's consciousness which experiences Hashem firsthand and is ready to give everything up for that relationship. It is the abnormal, extraordinary, otherworldly capacity of the Jew that has proved itself and unfortunately come to the fore in every decade and every century, the capacity to stare death in the eyes and declare, Ani Mamin, I believe. Where does this capacity come from? Ultimately, Yiddishkeit didn't survive, the Alter Rebbe will show, as a result of the meditators and contemplators. The reason it survived after thousands of years, notwithstanding all odds, was because of the Jews, the men, the women, and their children who clung to it in all costs, in fire and water. It is this what the Alter Rebbe calls Ahava Mesuteres. There is an ongoing, constant, burning, fiery relationship between the Jew and Hashem, a powerful love, attachment, affection, a zealous, consistent connection, which exists, which lay there at the core, at the quintessence of his consciousness. It's irreversible, it's constant, it's eternal, it's unchangeable. This superconscious, this dynamic of the Jew, is what the Alter Rebbe begins to address here. When man tunes in to this element of his life, when you tune into it, because you could be totally not tuned into it. You know, how many of us are aware of what is going on in the depth of our own souls and our own hearts? Someone asked me the other day if I am into my dreams, if I interpret my dreams. A friend of mine was very into dream interpretation. I said, not really. He said, well, I am. You should start doing it. Do you dream? I said, I dream almost every night. I dream. So he says, start interpreting. You know, try to figure out what happens to you at night. I said, I'm still having a difficult time figuring myself out by day. So go figure myself out by night. Let me first. So, you know, even our conscious selves are so multifaceted, multidimensional. It's very complex. Our human personality is extremely complex. But getting into the subconscious elements, forget about it. There is an infinite sea there, an infinite sea with layers upon layers upon layers. So sometimes we operate our lives, and the super subconscious forces exist and influence us in a very powerful way, but we are totally not aware of it. We are totally not in tune with it. So when the Jew tunes himself into this element, his divine soul fills the space of his heart. His Jewishness becomes as tangible as a reality, as tangible a reality as his own flesh and blood. Whether it comes out in a passionate, palpable love, or it remains in the realm of the intellect, because just as in the former love, which we discussed in the previous chapters, there is the Bilavavcha which comes out in a palpable way, and there's the Bilavavcha which is relegated to the intellectual realm, in this love we will soon see there are also these two levels. But whatever the case is, whether it's a palpable love, or it remains in the realm of the intellect, by tapping into this part of himself, something which every Jew is capable of doing at every moment of his life, as will soon be explained, the Jew is certain that he will not fall prey to the illusionary ego perception perpetuated by the animal soul, and he will always remain loyal to his true transcendental self. It is only on this level which we can say, Karei ve'lecha hadavar miyait. The type of emotions which have been discussed earlier must be created. And the way they are created is through a powerful intellectual exercise. This requires a lot of toil and effort. The ability for meditation, knowledge of the subject, a certain type of heart and soul. This is the capacity in the divine soul, the emotional capacity that responds to intellectual meditation. But in this level, there is no intellectual experience. The mind is utilized, to be sure. But it's only utilized as a mediator, as an instrument to tap into this dimension of consciousness. This is more about remembering than it's about understanding. In this case, the Jew doesn't have to create something anew, a new love, as a result of the toil of the mind. Rather, he is just utilizing his mind to bring to the fore a pre-existing love and passion. His mind serves as a facilitator rather than a creator. as a transmitter rather than an originator. The mind in this case does not serve in the metaphoric language discussed before as parents creating the child, but rather as the nurse delivering the baby out to the outside world. By the way, this is one of the explanations that has been given to the interesting phrase the Alter Rebbe used in his title page, that the purpose of this sefer is to explain how Yiddishkeit is karev ma'od b'derech aruchok tzara, in the long way and in the short way. So there is one primary explanation that we discussed many times, b'derech aruchok tzara, the way which is the longer way and is also the shorter way. Because there is the long short path and the short long path. The path that seems short but is essentially long, and the path that is long but is really short because it gets you there. But there is another interesting explanation that the Tanya actually has two sections to it. One addresses a long path and the other one the short path. The primary method, developed until chapter 18 is the Derech Harucha, the long path. It's the long path because man has to recreate himself. And the primary tool for recreation, according to Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, was the mind. The mind is the instrument through which a person can recreate himself in a positive, holy way. As a result of a pre-existing divine soul, of course. The mind which will lead to feelings, which will lead to refinement of character and a perfected behavior. This is the long path in the sense that it requires a lot of work. The second path begins in chapter 18, is called Derech Tzara. It's the short path. Because this is not about creating inspiration, recreating yourself. Rather, it's about tuning yourself in to a part of yourself which is always inspired. To an inherent inspiration, to an inherent force of energy existing in the Jew. Tuning into it takes work. But since it's something existing, you don't have to recreate yourself. The mind over here is not the feature which has to make something anew. Therefore, it's called Derech Tzara. And the following eight prakim, from 18 through 25, Yitches through Chafei, is devoted to explaining, analyzing, and driving home this dimension, this Derech Tzara. So in other words, there are two distinct capacities in the divine soul. You see, the item is the same. The object being loved is the same. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are two capacities in the divine soul. There is the capacity to react to contemplation and meditation. There is that level of emotions which are provoked and solicited through emotions, through meditation. That's one aspect. To develop a feeling as a result of understanding a certain truth, of comprehending a certain truth. This is called, in Tanya, Ava V'yira Sichlim, a contemplative love, or rather a meditative love and awe. But then on another level, the same soul also possesses, on a deeper level of consciousness, not just the capacity to respond to a godly concept emotionally, but also a quintessential, supra-rational passion towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The latter is called Ahava V'yira Tivis. It's not a meditative love or awe, it's an intrinsic love and awe. Ava v'yiratevim. The latter is deeper, but the former is vaster. The latter is electrifying. It consumes you. It overwhelms you. The former is more limited and it permeates you. Their inherent intrinsic love transcends all inhibitions. The contemplative love is defined and assimilated within man's, it assimilates itself within man's personality. The latter draws upon the superconscious forces, the former upon the conscious forces. The superconscious force is always much more powerful. But the conscious love may be incorporated in our day-to-day schedule. The super-rational love comes from above. The rational love comes from below. The Alter Rebbe says elsewhere that there are two types of loves. There is the love we have to our siblings, and there is the love that we have to a spouse. So you know, Avraham Avinu, we just learned in Parshas Lech Lecha, comes down to Mitzrayim. He leaves the Holy Land and he enters Egypt. And he tells Sarah, Imri na chaysiat, I will not be able to survive in this country if it is known to the people that you are my wife. Please, I beg you, declare yourself as my sister. V'chaysa nafshi biglalich. And as a result of that, I will be able to love, live and exist. It's a very enigmatic story where Avraham, the embodiment of truth, of dedication, wants his wife to define herself as a sister, and therefore they shall take her away and do with her what they wanted to do in order to save his own skin. So the Mefarshim are very busy with the story. We know every story in Torah has plays itself out on a physical level. It also plays itself out on a spiritual level. So this is what the Alter Rebbe says. What is the difference in the relationship one has to a sister, for example, one has to his wife? Siblings are connected intrinsically. I don't choose my sisters or my brothers. I am connected to them. Inevitably, essentially, intrinsically, naturally. This is a connection that never changes. It never changes. Whatever happens, this is your sister, this is your brother. Furthermore, even if there's, God forbid, a fight in the family, a disputation in the family, they don't get along, at the end of the day, there's a powerful connection. Even, the Alter Rebbe says, sometimes one doesn't talk to a sister for 20, 30 years, God forbid. It's part of your life. It's part of who you are. It's part of your identity. You share the same parents, the same source, the same blood, the same genetic makeup in many ways. On the other hand, the relationship to a wife or a wife to a husband is not that way. It's not intrinsic. It's not natural to you. It can come and it can also go. Sometimes a person could be deeply in love, the Alter Rebbe says, and then a while later it dissipates and it's gone. People can be married and then, God forbid, separate and divorce and so forth. On the other hand, when the relationship does exist, there's an intensity and a passion that surpasses infinitely the passion and fire that bonds siblings with each other. So on one hand, the love between siblings is unchangeable, it's eternal, it's consistent. The love of a spouse is not eternal and consistent, but when it exists in a healthy dynamic, there is very intense passion there. Says the Alter Rebbe, these two differences are actually interconnected and interrelated. The love to a sibling is part of who you are. It's part of your makeup. It's not created. It's not new. It's inherent to you. Just as you don't get excited about yourself, you don't get excited about your brother and sister, although there's a powerful love.